Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio, and Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser have zoomed in from their perspective houses. One more week, guys, and we're all in the studio together. How cool is that going to be?
Oh, my gosh. Can't wait.
Mayhem will ensue. And you know what? Let me tell you what we got on the...
Oh, no! Oh, mayhem!
That producer was not as quick on that trigger. He normally seems like he has his finger on that button all the time.
It's the new guy this week.
Nicely played. Let me talk about the show tonight. We've got a really cool show. We have... Actually, right here, already listening and joining us, Hunter McElroy, in the driver in the USF 2000. Excuse me, is that
Pro 2000?
Pro 2000. How insulting! I can't believe I said that. In the Indy Road to Indy Pro 2000 series, and we also have Enzo Fittipaldi in his opponent in the same series, going to be joining us later in the show. And we got a really cool local guest because Garages of the Americas. If you think about that, that's exactly what it is. These guys that are building a facility right out by COTA. Are going to come on later in the show, but we're going to talk about all of those things, and we're going to talk some Formula One. We got a little clip from Günther Steiner, who we caught up with a few days ago, that we're going to play on our Formula One show next week, the entire interview, but we got a clip of that tonight. So we got a fun show to talk about. We're going to talk a little NASCAR, because I think it's ending right now, finally, after rain and all the other stuff, but we're going to jump in right now with Hunter McElroy. And Jonathan, why don't you introduce Hunter, and we'll talk about all the things that he's up to this season.
Well, I've never seen Hunter race in physically, like, you know, in real time, but he's a heck of a commentator. he commentated with me down in New Zealand. He is from New Zealand, but we'll claim him as American because he's also American. He's in Wisconsin at the moment. He's getting ready for his second season of Pro 2000. He's had a really interesting career here in the States. We've had him on a couple of times, and we wanted to get him on now because they've just had some testing and getting ready for their season ahead. He's a good boy, and his dad raced, and that's how he got to racing. And he's a co-com of mine, so he's always welcome on the show. Hunter, how are you, mate?
That was a really nice introduction, mate. I mean, I don't know how much you're going to charge me after saying those nice things, but thank you, mate. I'm doing okay.
How was the test?
It was good. I mean, it's always nice, to be honest, to have a smooth test like we did. I mean, every session we're in the top five, which is always a strong thing. Particularly this year, I think, you know, we have 17 cars on the grid. A lot of Europeans coming over from, you know, FIF3 and a lot of other competitive categories around the world. So I think this year you're going to see a lot of guys at the front and a really compressed field. So, you know, you look at the timesheets, it's ultra close and there was a lot of guys shuffling around. So I ended up fourth overall, which, you know, it was okay. I mean, it was, like I said, really smooth, and I can't wait to get back there for the race.
Hunter, why don't you explain to the folks what actually happens there and what is the value of this?
Of the test?
Yes,
basically,
sir.
It's funny you say that, because in previous years, we start the season off at St. Pete. So basically, we go the spring training, we actually test at Homestead. And if I'm being perfectly honest, the preseason test actually isn't that useful, because, I mean, apart from the fact that everyone wants to beat each other, it's a track we don't race at, and the surface is extremely abrasive. So we have limited sets of tires for the track time we have. So to be honest, you know, this year is different because obviously we're starting the championship at Barber, and we actually are testing at Barber. So this year, I think it's probably a little more actually worthwhile. Obviously, it's worthwhile because we're actually testing the track we're racing at. So that's extremely beneficial. I mean, to get laps at the track you're racing on at a preseason test before the event, that's really nice. And I think, you know, everyone actually did a two-day test before we even did the preseason test. So, you know, by the time we get to the track, you know, we have another two tests before the race weekend on the Thursday coming up this week. So, you know, everyone's going to know the track. And I think, to be honest, that actually is a reason why everyone is so close, because, you know, everyone's had a lot of track time, constantly improving. You know, everyone's, including myself, you know, we're dialing setups, we're trying things, we're getting better. So I think it's going to be extremely, extremely close race and extremely competitive as it already is. So, yeah, it's obviously, to answer your question, the test is very important, and probably more so this year with what I've already talked about.
Well, Hunter, you talked a minute ago. You said there's a lot of good competition, guys from all over the world. But to do as well as you did in that test, just start there. To do as well as you did there in, you know, spec cars, everybody's driving the same hardware. you're obviously, it's very impressive, and you've done a great job. Talk about how you got here in your career to this far.
Thank you, mate. I'd love everyone to give me that sort of credit for getting fourth. I mean, geez, imagine if I win. Like, no.
Oh, you'll be hosting the show, mate.
Reserved parking spot too.
Well, to be honest, I started out my career in New Zealand out of the back of my grandfather's trailer. So that was really cool to honestly start my career like that. You know, believe it or not, most people I race start off racing a lot higher level than that. So I started off grassroots in New Zealand, you know, worked my way up through Formula Ford, eventually ending up in Australian Formula Ford, which, to be honest, in terms of Formula Ford, it's no question the most, you know, most competitive open wheel championship in Australia. You know, apart from TRS in New Zealand, in the first 5 weeks of kind of the year in January, it's the most competitive open wheel championship in Australasia, like I said, apart from TRS, and kind of as a stepping stone into TRS. So at the time, they had a really good tie to the road to Indy. And my goal was to always win that championship and get myself a road to Indy shootout ticket, which would get me a chance to get my way into the road to Indy. So, you know, my dream's always to be, has been always to be an IndyCar driver as many others. So, you know, I kind of saw that as, you know, if I can do that, if I don't win that, you know, I'm probably going to be wasting my time if I can't win at Australia in a national level. You know, I don't really have the financial means, so I may as well, I have to be pretty damn good to get there. So luckily, I was able to win the Australian Championship in 2018, go to America, and I did a few tests, which went really well in USF 2000. I topped all the tests I did, and I was like, oh, this is good. Then I did the shootout 2 days in Arizona. We're all in the same car. It was a very, very crazy experience, you know, because you race against guys from all over the world, you know, 18 different champions. So that was awesome. And then I was able to win that scholarship shootout. At the time, it was the Mazda Road to Indy USF 2000, $200,000 scholarship shootout, it was called. It was a mouthful, but it was awesome. And for that year, leading into 2019, I was the Mazda scholarship driver in USF 2000. So that was a dream come true, because that was like 3 or 4 years of dreaming of that. Ever since that came about, really, you know, I was dreaming of becoming a Road to Indy driver just to kind of get a shot to progress up the Road to Indy. So for me, that was awesome. Pretty good debut year. You know, I battled for the championship all year long. I started off consistent, and then actually towards the end, I ended up dominating the middle to end of the year. Was leading the championship all the way to the last race of the year, and then I had a failure, which meant I had to start the last race of the year at Laguna from last, and then I ended up losing the championship in the last race of the year to Braden, and then I finished second by like a couple points. So that was gut-wrenching, but you know, to be honest, still an awesome experience. And then from there, obviously progressing to Indy Pro. So here I am.
Well, what about really the cool. What about the cars? Because I was looking at the specs of the cars. I mean, these go over 200 miles an hour, like 450 horsepower. I mean, it's awesome machine and such a gearhead, so I have to dig into all that. But, well, what about the difference in driving this car? I mean, because it's pretty high level, got plenty of downforce and all that.
Yeah, I mean, these cars are fast. You know, I think the USF 2000 obviously is a very fast car too. Stepping up from the Formula Ford, it was a step to go to the USF 2000. And then obviously to the Indy Pro 2000 car, it's another step. You know, the power is fast, but to be honest, the thing that is probably the quickest about this car is how much grip there is. You know, there's a lot of tire. You know, there's very, very big tires on the cars, and you have a lot of aerodynamic grip too. So, you know, your cornering speeds are extremely fast. And I would say, to be honest, you know, at a track like Barber, I mean, I'm used to kilometers, so I'm going to have to do some conversions here. But, you know, there's corners you're doing no problem doing 120 mile an hour, 115.
Wow.
Through, you know, very tight corners or corners that is very fast for. Mm. So, you know, I love that. You know, I love driving these cars. I've never stepped up to a car that I didn't like, put it that way. You know, I stepped into the USF 2000 and I was like, this is awesome. Then I stepped into the Indy Pro car and I was like, this is awesome. So, you know, to answer your question, what it's like to drive a car, love it. It's it does everything that you'd want a race car to do, put it that way. And, you know, I think for me, being a kind of a guy that loves open wheelers, you know, I really, really love this car.
Awesome. Jonathan, you had something. I didn't want to interrupt
you.
Yeah,
eye on the prize. I think, and we've had this conversation before, Hunter, but and I'm sure it's the same for Enzo who's coming on, but the real truth is the ladder that you've got now on the road to Indy is second to none. The opportunity, and you're a big recipient of it, but if you can win this year, am I right in saying it's almost an automatic Indy Lights run?
Yeah, mate, it's incredible. I mean, the opportunity that Road to Indy gives you, and I am, like you said, I'm a recipient of the scholarship money and have been previously. And, you know, I know how much that helped me. And the thing about it is if you win, you actually can progress. So it gives guys like me a hope and a shot of being able to actually make a go of this. And I wouldn't be here without the scholarship system right now, you know, already in my career. So it's almost, you know, it's $750,000 scholarship to go to Lights and
wow.
You know, anywhere else in the world, you know, you go to Europe or, you know, I'm sure Enzo can probably talk about that. I haven't raced in Europe, but you know, you win F3, what do you get to go to F2? You know, you don't get a scholarship to move to F2, I'm pretty sure. And it's one of those things where it's just, it means so much to have that, you know, kind of just as something that you can actually strive for. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, here you go, you won the championship, here's a really cool trophy and I hope you can get a driver next year. It's that security of being actually able to progress is second to none.
You know, the ladder system that is the Road to Indy is truly, it's really one of the best in motorsports. But hey guys, we got to take a break, so let's go ahead and do that, and when we come back we'll have more with Hunter McElroy. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. Our guest is Pro 2000 driver Hunter McElroy in the Road to Indy. And Hunter, I want to talk about Formula One with you. I want to pick your brain because we got our Formula One show next week. And I want to, like, what do you think so far? Who are you rooting for? Who do you think is fast? What's your predictions?
To be honest, mate, I think I never really root for one driver. I guess I just love watching the competition and watching them battle. And I think this year, compared to last year already, it's good to see the field probably timed up a bit. I watched the Bahrain race one. That was a good race. Obviously, it came down right to the wire. I think Max got a little robbed, to be honest, with the kind of off track for a few reasons. I think firstly, obviously, Lewis was running that. There's YouTube clips. And you can see how much Lewis was using that runoff there, like many, many times. Like I'm talking over 20 times, I'm pretty sure he used it. But obviously, he was there making a pass like that. And I think maybe also, like if they just gave Max 5-second penalty, I think he probably could have pulled away. Like if you look at how much he pulled in that half a lap, I think it was like 1.5 seconds. So, you know, it would have been close. But yeah, great race. And it's good to see the tight battle.
All right, we're going to go from Formula One to NASCAR. Did you get to? I know you were watching the race. I know you were watching the race today because we could see it in the reflection a while ago when you first joined. But we got NASCAR coming to Austin on May 23rd. How about that? How about NASCAR on the Formula One track here in Austin? What do you think about that?
Yeah, those guys are going to be hanging it out, man, because there's a lot of high speed corners at COTA, and you know, not much aero on those bad boys. So I think those guys, you know, if there is a road track specialist, I think they'll be pretty handy. I think Chase Elliott's been strong actually at the Rovals and things like that. So Chase Elliott, I'm going to call it early unless there's like a hot shoe they bring in, which they sometimes do. I think Chase Elliott will be pretty strong, but you know that'll be a good spectacle to watch. I think for sure.
It's good. They'll be hanging it out. They'll be like drift cars going around COTA in those big, big old, powerful, heavy NASCARs.
Yeah, man. I mean, those guys, they drive hard. Like I was just watching Martinsville just then, like you said, and even at the end there, you know, Truex got the win. I'm pretty sure, and you know he was hanging it out at the end, and yeah, those tires obviously. Tire wear and things like that in NASCAR obviously come to play so much. And then, you know, put that on a road course with a lot of high-speed loading corners. Yeah, man, I think who knows? You know, there could be a guy who does pit strategy or gets a lucky yellow and just has so much tire grip at the end. So probably be a few door banging, I think, as well. You know, a huge, wide straightaway into a really tight corner as well. So that's definitely going to be a race worth watching. I'm going to call that.
Jonathan, it sounds like you got your co-commentator here.
Oh, he's my man. I'm telling you, if you're not doing anything in the middle of May, come join me. I tell you what, given that we're going around the houses, what about Indy Lights? You know, I was thinking about, we were talking about Kyle Kirkwood, you know, talking about a recipient who, like yourself, has come through the ranks by sheer skill. You know, I love to watch what he's doing, and I wish him the best for Indy Lights this year. It's going to be tough. But also IndyCar, what a season it's going to be. And you must be rooting for Scotty and, well, the two Scots, the two great Scots. But Indy's going to be good. Are you going to get a chance to, you know, rub some shoulders with the big boys?
Yeah, man, I think it's a lot of great racing. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I obviously I'm lucky enough to race myself. And, you know, when I put the helmet on, you kind of just focus on yourself. But away from the track, you know, I'm a race fan too. So I always watch racing and, you know, I'm trying to learn and to be honest, I just enjoy watching it. You know, I love racing. I'm a racer. So I've watched pretty much, you know, whenever you get a chance, the track, especially when we're obviously a support category of IndyCar, it's so cool to watch those guys hustle around and see what they do. And, you know, I've known Scott McLaughlin since I was really little. He was my first ever sponsor. Oh, his dad was my first ever sponsor. So
that's a cool story. Yeah. Tell us about that.
I mean, I've known him for a long, long time. And you know, the first ever, the first ever simulator I drove was his. And I used to go around, we used to live close to each other, and I used to ride my bike around his house and be like, can I drive in a simulator? And he'd be like, sure. You know, I'd spend hours on it and, you know, mainly crash into things. But I love that. And yeah, it's crazy to see what he's doing and how it's all worked out with him, you know, racing in the States. And, you know, he's doing a great job. So, yeah, I've known him for a long time. His sister used to babysit me, my brother. So, yeah, it's been funny to see how things work out.
Oh, that's great. You know, one of the things, talking about the NASCAR at COTA, I'm excited to see it. And I'm excited to see, so they've modified the berms a little bit, the curb. And I want to see how they handle things. One, very fondly remembering the Aussie V8 supercars when they were here. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the American take on those big curbs.
Yeah, I think they'll, anything I know about like big car like that, they'll be using as much curb as they possibly can. So, yeah, if you want to see some curb usage, I would, I'd be ready for that.
I think I'm going to go and collect the rubber up after the weekend's over, because it's going to be, you could probably make your own factory of rubber and start redoing them.
Well, Hunter, we want to thank you for coming on the show. Hunter McElroy, yeah. Watch for him in the Indy Pro 2000 series, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show again soon. And we really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me. And, hope to see you guys soon.
And tell our audience when they can see you and when the first race is at Barber.
Yeah.
And your social.
First race this weekend at Barber. Don't miss it. Road to Indy app, Road to Indy TV. All my socials, Hunter McElroy. And thanks, guys.
All right.
Hey, appreciate it, Hunter. Best
thanks,
of luck.
Hunter. Take care, man.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, he's a good boy. Like you said, Jonathan, he's fun.
He's
and
a good boy.
Obviously, talented driver as well. And, yeah, and it fixes it fits his 6'3" frame into those open wheel cars.
Well, you know, you know what we were saying about Kyle Kirkwood, you know, it's the similar sort of story. And he's just come from a different part of the world. And I just think it's great for the Road to Indy to have this sort of talent. And also it's good for American motorsport to rub shoulders with foreigners who've been successful elsewhere.
You know, that, go ahead, Les.
The thing I love is just what you were saying, coming from all over the world, that this is drawing in international competitors even more so now, and that's nothing but good.
Yeah,
and that ladder series is so organized and so, I mean, to me, it's in motorsports, it's second only to MotoGP, and how efficient they are at going from one level to the next. I mean, it's like you and I were talking this afternoon, Jonathan, about Kyle Kirkwood and his amazing how he won USF4, won the championship, then he won the F3 championship. And then, I mean, he's just moving up the ladder. And now, I mean, I expect him to be in an IndyCar after this season, almost. I mean, that's how...
Yeah, could well be, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really organized system. And but you met Hunter where at... Did you met him at TRS?
Yeah, in New Zealand. Yeah, he was racing in Australia, and he came over because, obviously, his home is New Zealand. And so he just came along. He was too young, or he wasn't going to do TRS. He was going to go over to America. So we met while he was sort of watching... TRS. His dad was actually racing Historic, so we commentated on one of his races. It was quite fun.
Oh, that's cool.
That's got to be fun.
Hey, speaking of NASCAR, I wasn't joking when I was talking about your co-commentator, because we don't have contracts yet, but we'll talk about it. It looks like we're going to be doing the NASCAR. Jonathan, you'll be over there on the PA microphones, and maybe Les and I helping out with some of that, but we're also going to be doing a radio show. So we're going to have a little pre and post, and we're going to take the NASCAR radio feed, and you can hear all that right here on Talk 1370 on May 23rd.
And if you're a NASCAR fan, call us up.
Yeah.
And remember, this is something really special. NASCAR on a current Formula One track.
Yeah.
That's just breaking ground.
That's not often.
Yeah. That's not often. Yeah.
We'll have to dust off that Tony Stewart interview again, because he was a high recommender of it. We also, I think we had Blaney as well, or was it? Or somebody.
Yeah. I can't remember. But Tony's interview about COTA, he was just gushing about what he thought would be cool at COTA. And, you know, I like the direction that NASCAR is taking with this, because, you know, they've made some changes in the last year or two here. And, I think that part of the idea here with COTA is that, you know, let's see if we can grow our audience a little bit and do something a little different somewhere a little different.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Hunter made a really interesting comment. He said they might bring out some ringers. They might bring out some specialists. If you remember when Marcus Ambrose, the closest he ever got to winning in NASCAR was at road courses. And of course, he's an ex-V8 champion. And so you may well see, you know, someone like a Scott McLaughlin or whatever, or any of the V8 guys come over and start to do some road courses. So, you know, times they are changing.
You know, I mean, I've stated before, I kind of lost interest in NASCAR, but sure, as many road courses as they're involved in now, this is what they needed. We need to line things up. I'm back. Let's do this. And now you're coming to my backyard. Yeah.
Yeah, heck okay. Yeah!
I think it's going to be a fantastic venue for them, and talking to them, they're excited about coming here, and that's just as important.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's go to a break right now, a couple minutes early, because we have Enzo Fittipaldi holding, and he's going to join us right after the break. You're listening to Speed City, and we'll be back after these quick messages.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiasts looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hey, this is Tony Stewart. You're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Who has the best producer in motorsports? Finding that Tony Stewart clip.
We do. Hey, we got it one
so,
right.
So last week we had a member of the motorsports royalty family, the Andretti family. We have another member of another motorsports royalty family, a Fittipaldi, on the show. We want to welcome Enzo Fittipaldi to the Speed City Show. Enzo, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. Thank you guys so much for the invitation. It's an honor to be here. I'm here at home in North Carolina. We live in Davidson. It's very close to Mooresville, where all the big teams are. There's Penske, a lot of the NASCAR teams. I'm basically where I live now is it's like a racing world here as well. And I was living in Italy for the past 4 years in Maranello. So it's very, very similar to my experience in Italy as well.
We're trying to build the same thing right here in Austin, Texas, surrounded by this little track. You might have heard of it, called Circuit of the Americas. We're trying to do the same thing here.
Oh, of course I've heard.
when are you going to come and race at COTA?
Oh, I hope to be racing there in the future. I hope very soon. So I think this year we won't be racing at COTA with Indy Pro 2000.
Sure.
But maybe 1-2 years from now, we'll see what series I'll be doing next year. And yeah.
Fantastic. Right. Well, hey, we've always got the microphones there, so just make your way over. We got a spot.
Oh, that's amazing. I would love to drive there and visit you guys as well. That would be amazing.
Now, Enzo,
last time we had you on, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, were you born in Miami? Is that right?
So I was born in Miami, Florida, and I lived there until I was 10. And then when I turned about 11, I moved to North Carolina because my brother was doing late models. He was doing NASCAR. Yep. We moved here, and ever since we've been here about 10 years now. So, and we love it here. It's great.
Yeah, we were talking to Gunter, and he said you and your brother are just down the road from him, from Haas.
Yeah, we are from from Gunther, I think we're about 10 minutes, even from, yeah. So we, it's funny because my brother was telling me, like, sometimes he goes get a coffee at this place called Summit Coffee, which is near my home. And out of nowhere, he bumps into Gunther, which is his boss, of course. And yeah. It's just like, it's funny because, you know, I think especially here in Davidson, not many people know too much about Formula One, the Formula One world. And, you know, Gunther's a big superstar. So
sure. It's
funny that from the Netflix series, he's gotten very big superstar now.
that's funny. Hey, I bet he used to go to that coffee shop and not worry about it. Now he's a big star.
Yeah, now he's the big star. So, yeah, it was great. Even with Haas, I was able to do the virtual GP races for Formula One. And me and my brother, I was alongside my brother's teammates. And it was amazing that Haas F1 gave me the opportunity. And we won the Drivers' Championship and Teams' Championship, which was great. It was the first virtual championship we ever won. So it was amazing.
Well, hey, we need to talk about your career now because you are in the Pro 2000 series now, which is impressive in itself. And you've got lots of, you know, accolades under your belt already. But talk about the test you just went through and your goals for this season.
So we just did the spring training, which were we had 2 days of testing and 5 sessions in total of 1 hour. So 5 hours of driving in 2 days. Testing was very positive. I was supposed to do some preseason testing about two or 3 days, and I couldn't do them because I had an engine issue. So basically my first days were the spring training, so still getting used to the car and everything the first day. And then the second day, little by little, I was getting up to speed, and we ended off the day in I think it was third, about half a tenth off the quickest. And we're just getting stronger and stronger, and we're going to Barber Motorsports this week. We're racing on the same weekend as IndyCar and the Indy Lights. This year I'll be racing with RP Motorsport. So it will be good. They kind of have a link with Andretti as well. I'm really, really excited, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Enzo, you and your brother have taken really kind of bold moves to come back to the States. Pietro obviously doing Indy, but also still connected to Haas. And by the way, I just want to let you know that when we had Gunther on the show and he gave Pietro the ride, I said, you did sign the other one, right, Gunther? And he went, oh, I should have got a twofer. So I was looking out for you, buddy. I was looking out for you. But my question is, you've come, you know, you've spent a lot of time. You're part of the Ferrari Academy. You were going good guns. There was no need necessarily for you to come back. What? Tell us your reasoning. And, you know, you're so close to a super license potential. Why now come back?
So basically, the thing about Europe is that, especially in Brazil, COVID was a really hard hit in Brazil. And talking about how expensive it is to race in Europe, it was really difficult for us to continue due to sponsorship and financial reasons. It was really difficult. For me to even do another year in Formula 3. And then what we decided was let's go to the United States, and there's a lot of opportunities there. So we decided it was about in November that I was talking about that with my dad. And we did that move. And like that, I had to we left the Ferrari Driver Academy and came to the United States.
Enzo, that is kind of a bold move, and some people, I'm sure, are questioning it. But certainly, as you said, you got the opportunities here and keep on going. Is that to say that you're no longer interested in a Ferrari path, or is it that this will complement your Ferrari path?
No, so right now I'm no longer part of the Ferrari Driver Academy since they only support in Europe and the road to F1. It was a big move in my career. I just see there's a lot more opportunities here in the US. But of course, my dream is to make it to IndyCar, and it is to make it to Formula One. And I'm never going to give up on those dreams. And I do believe that one day I will make it if I do a lot of hard work and a lot of work and dedication. And this is extremely important when you're racing at this level, is all the preparation you do outside of the track, because that makes the smallest and the smallest differences is the details that makes the biggest differences. So that's something I'm focusing on this year. Maybe I made a step back in my career. Some people might think that, but maybe sometimes you got to make a step back to make two steps forward. So that's about it.
I think there's nothing wrong with that strategy at all. I mean, you never know. And obviously, I was looking at the test results. So the last test result, you were third fastest.
Third quickest.
Yeah, yeah. So you got faster throughout the weekend. So heck yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with that move at all.
And I immediately think of Alexander Rossi. I think he's doing okay in that move.
Yeah. That's right. And I'm extremely excited to be racing here in the United States. I mean,
sure.
I'm very excited. The field is extremely competitive. Indy Pro 2000, it is very competitive. And I was there running. And man, I'm going to tell you, I was there and we were very close to lap times. Like from top six, top seven, we're within 4 or 5 tenths. It was extremely very competitive. And yeah, it's going to be really hard this year. I think the top three will be very close. So I think for the fans, it'll be really fun to watch the races. But yeah, I'm just really looking forward for it.
And I got one more for Enzo, if I can. We got time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Enzo, I just keep thinking of the Fittipaldis all together at Thanksgiving. And, you know, like doing war stories of, oh, in my time, it was this and Christian's saying this and Emo's saying that. And, you know, you're all chatting away. It's like blue blood's gone wrong. So what are they encouraging you to do? Are they saying Indy's the way to go or F1's the way to go? Or do you just take no notice of them?
I mean, I don't think there is really I think there's many ways that you can get to IndyCar and F1. And right now I'm in the road to Indy, and that is one of my dreams, is to be racing Indy and be Indy 500 champion, win the IndyCar champion. That's one of my dreams. And I mean, I'm following my dreams. So I'm also, my dreams is to be Formula One world champion and make it there. And I'm never going to give up on that. And basically the tips that they gave me is just follow your dreams. So that's good
advice.
Yeah. You're 19 years old, right?
I'm 19 years old. Yes. And my birthday is July 18th, and I was born on 2001.
Well,
talking to people that were born in this millennium.
Yeah. Well, do you like Pietro? Do you guys like break down like strategies and go back and look at races together? Do y'all do that kind of thing?
Yes, he helps me a lot. He has a lot of experience. So basically, I'm 5 years younger than him. So basically, I do look up to him, and I try and get as much information and try and learn from him as much as possible, because he's gone through the steps that I'm going to go through. So it's perfect that I have someone like my brother that tells me, you know, where I can improve and things that he made mistakes on that I know about. And yeah, it's just great. And I've been able to learn a lot as a driver, and I've developed very well in Europe with Ferrari Driver Academy, which was an amazing opportunity for me. And I've just grown a lot as a person and as a race car driver in the last 4 years. And I feel extremely prepared here in the United States. And yeah.
Well, you are he's a very impressive, mature young man with his goals set out. I am really impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just, I just had to say that because I am. But hey, let me ask you a question before Jonathan goes his. What about your brother? How proud were you of him at the end of last season when he stepped in that Haas F1 car? He did not miss a beat, man. He
was brilliant.
Yeah, I bet there were people thinking, well, have we made the right decision here for next year?
Yeah, I think it was for my brother, it was amazing, you know, because he had his accident in Spa with the LMP car.
That's right.
And he broke both legs, and that whole year for him was a big stop in his career, you know, because it was just after he won the championship in World Series. And yeah, it was difficult for him and to recover. And it was a very long process. He went to race an IndyCar 2 months after he broke his legs. So yeah, to see him there in that position, it was really just amazing. I know how much hard work he puts into it.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities. And when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky. The source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hey, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Who has the best producer in motorsports? Finding that Tony Stewart clip.
We do. Hey, we got them all right.
So last week we had a member of the motorsports royalty family, the Andretti family. We have another member of another motorsports royalty family, a Fittipaldi, on the show. We want to welcome Enzo Fittipaldi to the Speed City Show. Enzo, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. Thank you guys so much for the invitation. It's an honor to be here. I'm here at home in North Carolina. We live in Davidson. It's very close to Mooresville, where all the big teams are. There's Penske, a lot of the NASCAR teams. I'm basically where I live now is it's like a racing world here as well. And I was living in Italy for the past 4 years in Maranello. So it's very, very similar to my experience in Italy as well.
We're trying to build the same thing right here in Austin, Texas, surrounded by this little track. You might have heard of it, called Circuit of the Americas. We're trying to do the same thing here.
Oh, of course I've heard.
when are you going to come and race at COTA?
Oh, I hope to be racing there in the future. I hope very soon. So I think this year we won't be racing at COTA with Indy Pro 2000.
Sure.
But maybe 1-2 years from now, we'll see what series I'll be doing next year. And yeah.
Well, fantastic. Right. Well, hey, we've always got the microphones there, so just make your way over. We got a spot.
Oh, that's amazing. I would love to drive there and visit you guys as well. That would be amazing.
Now, Enzo,
last time we had you on, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, were you born in Miami? Is that right?
So I was born in Miami, Florida, and I lived there until I was 10. And then when I turned about 11, I moved to North Carolina because my brother was doing late models. He was doing NASCAR. Yep. We moved here, and ever since we've been here about 10 years now. So, and we love it here. It's great.
Yeah, we were talking to Gunter, and he said you and your brother are just down the road from him, from Haas.
Yeah, we are from Gunter. I think we're about 10 minutes even from, yeah. So it's funny because my brother was telling me, like, sometimes he goes get a coffee at this place called Summit Coffee, which is near my home. And I don't know where he bumps into Gunther, which is his boss, of course. Yeah. It's just like, it's funny because, you know, I think especially here in Davidson, not many people know too much about Formula One, the Formula One world. And, you know, Gunther's a big superstar. So
sure. It's
funny that from the Netflix series, he's gotten very big superstar now.
that's funny. Hey, I bet he used to go to that coffee shop and not worry about it. Now he's a big star.
Yeah, now he's the big star. So yeah, it was great. Even with Haas, I was able to do the virtual GP races for Formula One. And me and my brother, I was alongside my brother's teammates. And it was amazing that Haas F1 gave me the opportunity. And we won the Drivers' Championship and Teams' Championship, which was great. It was the first virtual championship we ever won. So it was amazing.
Well, hey, we need to talk about your career now, because you are in the Pro 2000 series now, which is impressive in itself. And you've got lots of, you know, accolades under your belt already. But talk about the test you just went through and your goals for this season.
So we just did the spring training, which were, we had 2 days of testing and 5 sessions in total of 1 hour. So 5 hours of driving in 2 days. Testing was very positive. I was supposed to do some preseason testing about two or 3 days, and I couldn't do them because I had an engine issue. So basically my first days were the spring training. So still getting used to the car and everything. The first day, and then the second day, little by little, I was getting up to speed, and we ended off the day in, I think it was third, about half a tenth off the quickest. And yeah, we're just getting stronger and stronger, and we're going to Barber Motorsports this week. We're racing on the same weekend as IndyCar and the Indy Lights. This year I'll be racing with RP Motorsport. So it will be good. They kind of have a link with Andretti as well. So yeah, I'm really, really excited, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Enzo, you and your brother have taken really kind of bold moves to come back to the States. Pietro obviously doing Indy, but also still connected to Haas. And by the way, I just want to let you know that when we had Gunter on the show and he gave Pietro the ride, I said, you did sign the other one, right, Gunter? And he went, oh, I should have got a twofer. So I was looking out for you, buddy. I was looking out for you. But my question is, you've come, you know, you've spent a lot of time. You're part of the Ferrari Academy. You were going good guns. There was no need necessarily for you to come back. What? Tell us your reasoning. And, you know, you're so close to a super license potential. Why now come back?
So basically, thing about Europe is that, especially in Brazil, COVID was a really hard hit in Brazil. And talking about how expensive it is to race in Europe, it was really difficult for us to continue due to sponsorship and financial reasons. So it was really difficult. For me to even do another year in Formula 3. And then what we decided was, let's go to the United States, and there's a lot of opportunities there. So we decided, it was about in November that I was talking about that with my dad. And yeah, we did that move. And like that, I had to, we left the Ferrari Driver Academy and came to the United States.
Enzo, that is kind of a bold move, and some people, I'm sure, are questioning it. But certainly, as you said, you got the opportunities here and keep on going. Is that to say that you're no longer interested in a Ferrari path, or is it that this will complement your Ferrari path?
No, so right now I'm no longer part of the Ferrari Driver Academy, since they only support in Europe and the road to F1. So yeah, it was a big move in my career. I just see there's a lot more opportunities here in the US. But of course, my dream is to make it to IndyCar, and it is to make it to Formula One. And I'm never going to give up on those dreams. And I do believe that one day I will make it if I do a lot of hard work and a lot of work and dedication. And this is extremely important when you're racing at this level, is all the preparation you do outside of the track, because that makes the smallest and the smallest differences is the details that makes the biggest differences. So that's something I'm focusing on this year. Maybe I made a step back in my career. Some people might think that, but maybe sometimes you got to make a step back to make 2 steps forward. So that's about it.
I think there's nothing wrong with that strategy at all. I mean, you never know. And obviously, I was looking at the test results. So the last test result, you were third fastest. Yeah, yeah. So you got faster throughout the weekend. So heck yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with that move at all.
And I immediately think of Alexander Rossi. I think he's doing okay in that move.
Yeah. That's right. And I'm extremely excited to be racing here in the United States. I mean, sure. I'm very excited. The field is extremely competitive. Indy Pro 2000, it is very competitive. And I was there running. And man, I'm going to tell you, I was there and we were very close to lap times. Like from top six, top seven were within 4 or 5 tenths. It was extremely very competitive. And yeah, it's going to be really hard this year. I think the top three will be very close. So I think for the fans, it'll be really fun to watch the races. But yeah, I'm just really looking forward for it.
And I got one more for Enzo, if I can. Have we got time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Enzo, I just keep thinking of the Fittipaldis all together at Thanksgiving. And, you know, like doing war stories of, oh, in my time, it was this and Christian saying this and Emo saying that. And, you know, you're all chatting away. It's like blue blood's gone wrong. So what are they encouraging you to do? Are they saying Indy's the way to go or F1's the way to go? Or do you just take no notice of them?
I mean, I don't think there is really I think there's many ways that you can get to IndyCar and F1. And right now I'm in the road to Indy, and that is one of my dreams, is to be racing Indy and be Indy 500 champion, win the IndyCar champion. That's one of my dreams. And I mean, I'm following my dreams. So I'm also, my dreams is to be Formula One world champion and make it there. And I'm never going to give up on that. And basically the tips that they gave me is just follow your dreams. So that's good
advice.
Yeah. You're 19 years old, right?
I'm 19 years old. Yes. And my birthday is July 18 and I was born on 2001.
Well, do you,
we're
do
talking
you,
to people that were born in this millennium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you like Pietro? Do you guys like break down like strategies and go back and look at races together? Do y'all do that kind of thing?
Yes. He helps me a lot. He has a lot of experience. So basically I'm 5 years younger than him. So basically I do look up to him and I try and get as much information and try and learn from him as much as possible, because he's gone through the steps that I'm going to go through. So it's perfect that I have someone like my brother that tells me, you know, where I can improve and things that he made mistakes on that I know about. And yeah, it's just great. And I've been able to learn a lot as a driver, and I've developed very well in Europe with Ferrari Driver Academy, which was an amazing opportunity for me. And I've just grown a lot as a person and as a race car driver in the last 4 years. And I feel extremely prepared here in the United States. And yeah.
Well, you are he's a very impressive, mature young man with his goals set out. I am really impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just, I just had to say that because I am. But hey, let me ask you a question before Jonathan goes his. What about your brother? How proud were you of him at the end of last season when he stepped in that Haas F1 car? He did not miss a beat, man. He
was brilliant.
Yeah, I bet there were people thinking, well, have we made the right decision here for next year?
Yeah, I think it was for my brother, it was amazing, you know, because he had his accident in Spa with the LMP car.
That's right.
And he broke both legs, and that whole year for him was a big stop in his career, you know, because it was just after he won the championship in World Series. And yeah, it was difficult for him and to recover, and it was a very long process. He went to race an Indy car 2 months after he broke his legs. So yeah, to see him there in that position, it was really just amazing. I know how much hard work he puts into it, how much hunger he has to win and things like this. And for me, it was an enormous satisfaction to see my brother racing those two GPs in Formula One and getting that opportunity.
I absolutely loved it, because I always feel like, you know, in his role on the Haas team, that's not somebody on any of the F1 teams that get a lot of exposure. And finally, he got the limelight.
Yeah, that was amazing. And I'm sure he will have another opportunity. I'm sure.
Enzo, my question was about next weekend. I mean, how special is it? You were born in Miami, and like you say, you probably haven't raced in the United States. Well, let me ask you, when was the last time you had a competitive run in the United States? Next weekend's going to be a big weekend for you.
Yeah, so the last time I raced in the United States was in go-karts. I was doing the Rock Cup Championship, and
yeah,
I did that in Florida, and I finished off with a podium and a win, and that was my last time in the United States. So I did finish off very well, and I hope to come back on a good note and have a great weekend at Barber. I feel prepared, and I'm ready to bring it on.
Well, if you win, you got to come back on the show.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see about that. It's going to be extremely difficult, and we have to go step by step and just do my best out on track, and we'll see where I'm going to be.
All right, one last thing. You have got to go to the museum at Barber.
When we were doing the track walk there, I had a look, and I was on I was at turn six where the corkscrew is, and you're coming out of turn six, and on the left, there's this massive building with so many cars, but especially so many motorcycles. It is really fantastic, and I'm gonna have a look, and I'm gonna try and visit it when I go there again for this next weekend.
It's well worth the visit.
Yeah,
it is.
Enzo Fittipaldi, thank you so much for coming on the show. Very impressed with you, and I want to wish you the best of luck, of course, this coming weekend with your career. And when you get to IndyCar or Formula One, we're going to make sure that we have you back on the show.
Let's get his social out. We got an American racing here.
Yeah, yeah. What's your social? Tell everybody how to find you out there.
So my social media is on Instagram. It's Enzo Fitti, and the same thing on Twitter, Enzo Fitti. And we also got our Twitch channel that we stream racing content.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's Fittipaldi Brothers. So go give us a follow.
I've seen you guys on Twitch. I've watched you guys. That's awesome.
I love it. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much.
Obrigado.
Obrigado. De nada.
All right. Thanks, Enzo. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have another guest from here in Austin talking about the garages of the Americas. Very excited to talk about that. This is Speed City. We're in Austin. Back after break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Mr. Jay Leno, for bringing us back. Hey, we have our next guest on the line here, but before we join with him, I want to talk about, we've got a clip that we're going to play towards the end of the show that was with Mr. Gunther Steiner of the Haas F1 team, who we interviewed this week, and we're going to have that full interview, of course, on our Formula One show. You can catch, we do Formula One pre and post race on national radio every single Grand Prix weekend, and we've got Bob Varsha joining us this season. So really excited to have him, and we're going to be back in the studio for the first time in, I don't know, what, 14 months like that, some, all of us together. So
no, no, no.
Yeah, it's, that's the producer saying no, no, no. We're really excited about that. Us. So go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to tune in to our Formula One broadcast. But Les, I want you to introduce our next guest because he's doing something I'm really excited about.
You bet. So as I traveled around the world, visiting Monaco, visiting Spa, you know, going to Zandvoort, there is this kind of community around each of those tracks where the motorsports junkies like us have the world's coolest man cave garages. Well, you know what? We got Mason here to tell us about a community like that coming up here in Austin. Mason, tell us about the Garages of the Americas.
Yeah, guys. Good evening. So kind of like Les was saying, we are under development. Of course, it's still very early, but under development of what literally is going to be one of the coolest garage condo complexes that Austin's ever seen. There's really nothing like this in Austin. I'm sure you've seen definitely different parts of the world, but we are going to be directly across the street from the Circuit of the Americas. And there's just nothing like that. Anything like an F1 track that we have here in the U.S. So it's a really cool opportunity, like you said, to build out a man cave, build out an office, be able to put your race cars on one level, have a lift in there, do your tire changes, whatnot, and then literally jump across the street to, you know, the F1 circuit in the States. So it's a really neat project. You see some renders flipping through right now. We're coming along really, really fast. It's really a neat opportunity. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Mason, you know, as I've seen these around other locations, this is where the guys or gals, to be proper and inclusive, they're there too. But this is where they spend their race weekend. And that, you know, they may spend the night there. It's not necessarily a residential apartment, but they may spend the night there on race weekends. So if they're close to the track, they work late, they're up early, and they're already at the track. Is that the concept you are following as well?
Correct. Correct. So legally it is commercial property. It is not something that you can live at. It will not have a mailing address, stuff like that. However, we have a ton of people that intend fully to put a bedroom in here, crash here on a race weekend. If you're in here to watch Formula One, if you're here to run your own Porsche on a track day, whatever it might be, you can absolutely crash in these. There's absolutely nothing stopping something like that. The cool thing about this opportunity, you know, not only is it going to have, you know, an entry level base where you park your cars, whatnot, but you are going to have a 30 foot long mezzanine too, with every single one of these units. So not only do you have the overhang bit, you can look down on your cars, but it makes really cool space to, you know, if you wanted a wrenching space down below, you could totally have a bedroom upstairs. You can have an office upstairs. There's just so much you could do with it. And there's just nothing like it. You know, if you're running out of space at home, you live far enough from COTA, you don't want to transport your race cars back and forth every time. You want somewhere to crash during a race weekend. You know, you can totally kind of finish it out to your heart's desire. You can build it out however you'd like to. The units will come finished. They just won't come built out. So you can move in there day one. But yeah, putting a bedroom upstairs, putting an office, leaves a lot of opportunity.
So Mason, I want to ask you guys, I'm so excited about it, but I know it's still under development. Where are you guys in the process? Are we out? Are you got the right permits? And what's your expectation for timelines?
Yeah, so we are waiting on one final thing that's related to the property. We are outside of city limits, which makes development a little bit easier, and it's going to go way quicker as soon as we get the final details done. We are still waiting on one answer. We are close enough to the airport that they care about one thing on our property. That's coming soon. We expect to have that cleared in the next 4 to 6 weeks from today. So should be soon. And as soon as we get that cleared, we should be able to break ground within 30 days. Completion for phase one, which is going to be two buildings and a total of 43 units. We're expecting to have that completed by Q3, maybe Q4. So realistically, probably September, October, people are going to be starting to move in, and that's going to include the clubhouse. That's going to include all the cool amenities that come with that. You know, driving simulator room. It's going to have a coaching classroom. Cameron Lawrence has partnered with us on that one. We've got a couple different lounges. You can bring the homies over, watch a football game. It's going to have big screen TVs, a kitchenette. It's really going to be a cool place in addition to your unit itself. You know, again, to kind of make that experience, you come out to the racetrack, you're going to be able to hang out here and enjoy it.
Mason, I mean, we've been obviously very close watching the Circuit of the Americas grow as an entity. But, you know, you and I both know Elroy itself, you know, Austin hasn't made it there yet. And yet I just want to take the temperature, given what you're doing. We know More Speed. We know Chris Taylor Racing, S's. There's a few, you know, the community is now starting to build there. Can you see this really growing now and you being a catalyst for this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And keeping an eye on what's going on to the land directly around it. Obviously, when COTA first opened, it really was nothing out there. You know, it was far out in the middle of nowhere. Now there's a housing complex you can almost throw a rock at. You know, I know that there's infrastructure like grocery stores going in there soon. We're kind of really lucky to be able to be a part of this so early. It really is coming fast. And we're excited to be kind of a part of that too, in a way. You know, it's going to be part of the infrastructure out there and kind of bring racing community, car community, no matter what part of it you're part of, motorcycles, cars, and really kind of bring it to the area to make it more usable, make it more livable.
Well, Mason, folks, I heard something about an open house being held around the USGP. Be sure and follow Garages of the Americas and check that out. Get in on that. Well, Mason, thanks for introducing this to us. I'm excited to see this type of development coming up now, having seen it elsewhere.
Likewise. Thank you all so much for having me.
Thanks, Mason. Good luck with all that.
Take care.
Thanks, Mason.
Yeah, guys, that is exactly what we wanted and hoped for our community since 2012, or really since 2011 when all this was announced. So I am very excited.
There's one amenity they don't have that they absolutely must have, and Speed City is the answer, and that's a broadcast studio.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mason.
Mason will sort us out.
There you go.
All right, guys, I want to shift to Formula One because we had, like I said earlier in the show, we got to catch up with Gunther. I had to miss that interview, but you guys got to catch up with Gunther and talk about what's happened so far. And yeah, why don't you guys set it up a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll put more of it out on next week as we head to Imola, because that's the next race. It's in Italy, of course, one of the most famous circuits in the world. And so we turned our attention, having talked to him for about 20 minutes. So we'll put that up as well as on our social. So we've got a good 20 minutes with the man himself. But yeah, we asked him basically about how Haas were approaching Imola.
I mean, Imola is for the drivers, a race car driver, they all love it. It's a challenging circuit. It's one of the classics, but they all say it's fantastic to drive. It's one of the old style circuits, you know, where you need to, you really feel you're an F1 driver now, you know, when you go there. So I was told that some of the other rookie drivers, they had tests before, our drivers didn't this year. So we just go there, prepare ourselves as well as possible, because we were there last year, so we got some data from the engineers and from the car for the engineers. So, and the drivers, they will just have to adapt and try to take it in as fast as possible. It's a challenging track for a driver, because, you know, you need to have big, you know what. So they will do it.
With its layout, would you say you tailor more towards a streamline, or do you tailor more towards downforce for this race?
This is always the question, Imola, and you just find out when you get there, especially because we made a change in the rules on the floor. So maybe the downforce, which was taken off, it's enough that you don't need to do anything anymore to take any more off, because then you just have not enough. So, but you really find that the last little bit out only when you go on the track. You can do as much simulation as you want. There is always some little bit, and you need to see where other people are going, you know, as well. How the field stacks up. So this is the things you do normally in FP1, and then for FP2, you start to make changes, but then you need to have got it figured out for FP3, which downforce level you want to run.
Well, I'm excited to hear the rest of this interview, which you can do next Sunday morning. Our pre-show starts at 7:00 Central Time, I believe, next weekend. And nice early morning. But I don't mind 7:00 starts, guys.
Yeah. I asked something from the audience. I saw a conversation going on about what was the strategy in putting two new drivers in. He answers that for us.
Yes, he does. Yep.
Yeah, that was really good.
And he addresses the whole Russia flag thing, too.
Yes. If you want to hear that, tune in next week and go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to tune into our national show. And we got the pre and the post race show every week, and we got Bob Barsha coming on. We're trying to get Dave O'Neill back in. That man is the busiest man I know.
Busiest guy, man.
Yeah, former Haas F1 team manager who joined us all last season is going to be joining us this season when he can. So he's also got a new, you know, young child. So he is very busy, but we'll try to get him back on the show. But yeah, we're gonna do the full interview with. Les just texted me. He said Bob Barsha. I mentioned Bob Barsha is going to be joining us too. So, we'll have that. And so I'll go to our website and how to listen to that. But thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. And of course, do check out our website because we have all of our social media, including our SoundCloud account and our YouTube account. All of our shows are done on video, and we save those to our YouTube account. Check it out there. And they also get saved to our Facebook there as well. So you can check us out either one of those places. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to our guests. And we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Hell yeah.
Happy trails.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Mr. Jay Leno, for bringing us back. Hey, we have our next guest on the line here, but before we join with him, I want to talk about, we've got a clip that we're going to play towards the end of the show that was with Mr. Gunther Steiner of the Haas F1 team, who we interviewed this week, and we're going to have that full interview, of course, on our Formula One show. You can catch, we do Formula One pre and post race on national radio every single Grand Prix weekend, and we've got Bob Barsha joining us this season. So really excited to have him, and we're going to be back in the studio for the first time in, I don't know, what, 14 months like that, all of us together. So
No.
Yeah, that's the producer saying no. We're really excited about that. So go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to tune in to our Formula One broadcast. But Les, I want you to introduce our next guest, because he's doing something I'm really excited about.
You bet. So as I traveled around the world, visiting Monaco, visiting Spa, you know, going to Zandvoort, there is this kind of community around each of those tracks where the motorsports junkies like us have the world's coolest man cave garages. Well, you know what? We got Mason here to tell us about a community like that coming up here in Austin. Mason, tell us about the Garages of the Americas.
Yeah, guys. Good evening. So kind of like Les was saying, we are under development. Of course, it's still very early, but under development of what literally is going to be one of the coolest garage condo complexes that Austin's ever seen. There's really nothing like this in Austin. I'm sure you've seen definitely different parts of the world, but we are going to be directly across the street from the Circuit of the Americas. And there's just nothing like that at anything, you know, anything like an F1 track that we have here in the US. So it's a really cool opportunity, like you said, to build out a man cave, build out an office, be able to put your race cars on one level, have a list in there, do your tire changes, whatnot, and then literally jump across the street to, you know, the F1 circuit in the States. So it's a really neat project. You see some renders flipping through right now. We're coming along really, really fast. It's really a neat opportunity. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Mason, you know, as I've seen these around other locations, this is where the guys or gals, to be proper, mm-hmm. and inclusive, they're there too. But this is where they spend their race weekend. Mm. And that, you know, they may spend the night there. It's not necessarily a residential apartment, but they may spend the night there on race weekends. So if they're close to the track, they work late, they're up early, and they're already at the track. Is that the concept you are following as well?
Correct. So legally, it is commercial property. It is not something that you can live at. It will not have a mailing address, stuff like that. However, we have a ton of people that intend fully to put a bedroom in here, crash here on a race weekend. If you're in here to watch Formula One, if you're here to run your own Porsche on a track day, whatever it might be, you can absolutely crash in these. There's absolutely nothing stopping something like that. The cool thing about this opportunity, you know, not only is it going to have, you know, an entry level base where you park your cars, whatnot, but you are going to have a 30 foot long mezzanine too with every single one of these units. So not only do you have the overhang bit, you can look down on your cars, but it makes really cool space to, you know, if you wanted a wrenching space down below, you could totally have a bedroom upstairs. You can have an office upstairs. There's just so much you could do with it. And there's just nothing like it. You know, if you're running out of space at home, you live far enough from COTA, you don't want to transport your race cars back and forth every time. You want somewhere to crash during a race weekend. You know, you can totally kind of finish it out to your heart's desire. You can build it out however you'd like to. The units will come finished. They just won't come built out. So you can move in there day one. But yeah, putting a bedroom upstairs, bring an office, leaves a lot of opportunity.
So Mason, I want to ask you guys, I'm so excited about it, but I know it's still under development. Where are you guys in the process? Are you got the right permits? And what's your expectation for timelines?
Yeah, so we are waiting on one final thing that's related to the property. We are outside of city limits, which makes development a little bit easier, and it's going to go way quicker as soon as we get the final details done. We are still waiting on one answer. We are close enough to the airport that they care about one thing on our property. That's coming soon. We expect to have that cleared in the next 4 to 6 weeks from today. So should be soon. And as soon as we get that cleared, we should be able to break ground within 30 days. Completion for phase one, which is going to be two buildings and a total of 43 units. We're expecting to have that completed by Q3, maybe Q4. So realistically, probably September, October, people are going to be starting to move in. And that's going to include the clubhouse. That's going to include all the cool amenities that come with that. You know, driving simulator room. It's going to have a coaching classroom. Cameron Lawrence has partnered with us on that one. We've got a couple different lounges. You can bring the homies over, watch a football game. It's going to have big screen TVs, a kitchenette. It's really going to be a cool place in addition to your unit itself. You know, again, to kind of make that experience, you come out to the racetrack, you're going to be able to hang out here and enjoy it.
Mason, I mean, we've been obviously very close watching the Circuit of the Americas grow as an entity. But, you know, you and I both know Elroy itself, you know, Austin hasn't made it there yet. And yet I just want to take the temperature, given what you're doing. We know More Speed. We know Chris Taylor Racing, S's. There's a few, you know, the community is now starting to build there. Can you see this really growing now and you being a catalyst for this?
Absolutely. And keeping an eye on what's going on to the land directly around it. Obviously, when COTA first opened, it really was nothing out there. You know, it was far out in the middle of nowhere. Now there's a housing complex you can almost throw a rock at. You know, I know that there's infrastructure like grocery stores going in there soon. We're kind of really lucky to be able to be a part of this so early. It really is coming fast. You know, and we're excited to be kind of a part of that too, in a way. You know, it's going to be part of the infrastructure out there and kind of bring racing community, car community, no matter what part of it you're part of, motorcycles, cars, and really kind of bring it to the area to make it more usable, make it more livable.
Well, Mason, folks, I heard something about an open house. being held around the USGP, be sure and follow Garages of the Americas and check that out. Get in on that. Well, Mason, thanks for introducing this to us. I'm excited to see this type of development coming up now, having seen it elsewhere.
Likewise. Thank you all so much for having me.
Thanks, Mason. Good luck with all that.
Take care.
Thanks, Mason.
Yeah, guys, that is exactly what we wanted and hoped for our community since 2012, or really since 2011 when all this was announced. So I am very excited.
There's one amenity they don't have that they absolutely must have, and Speed City is the answer, and that's a broadcast studio.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mason.
Mason will sort us out.
There you go.
All right, guys, I want to shift to Formula One because we had, like I said earlier in the show, we got to catch up with Gunther. I had to miss that interview, but you guys got to catch up with Gunther and talk about what's happened so far. And why don't you guys set it up a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll put more of it out on next week as we head to Imola, because that's the next race. It's in Italy, of course, one of the most famous circuits in the world. And so we turned our attention, having talked to him for about 20 minutes. So we'll put that up as well as on our social. So we've got a good 20 minutes with the man himself. But yeah, we asked him basically about how Haas were approaching Imola.
I mean, Imola is for the drivers, a race car driver, they all love it. It's a challenging circuit. It's one of the classics, but they all say it's fantastic to drive. It's one of the old style circuits, you know, where you need to, you really feel you're an F1 driver now, you know, when you go there. So I was told that some of the other rookie drivers, they had tests before, our drivers didn't this year. So we just go there, prepare ourselves as well as possible, because we were there last year, so we got some data from the engineers and from the car for the engineers. So, and the drivers, they will just have to adapt and try to take it in as fast as possible. It's a challenging track for a driver, because, you know, you need to have big, you know what. So, you know, they will do it.
With its layout, would you say you tailor more towards a streamline, or do you tailor more towards downforce for this race?
This is always the question, Imola, and you just find out when you get there, especially because we made a change in the rules on the floor. So maybe the downforce, which was taken off, it's enough that you don't need to do anything anymore to take any more off, because then you just have not enough. So, but you really find that the last little bit out only when you go on the track. You can do as much simulation as you want. There is always some little bit, and you need to see where other people are going, you know, as well. How the field stacks up. So this is the things you do normally in FP1, and then for FP2 you start to make changes, but then you need to have got it figured out for FP3 which downforce level you want to run.
Well, I'm excited to hear the rest of this interview, which you can do next Sunday morning. Our pre-show starts at 7 o'clock Central Time, I believe, next weekend, and nice early morning. But I don't mind the 7 o'clock starts, guys.
Yeah. Asked something from the audience. I saw a conversation going on about what was the strategy in putting two new drivers in. He answers that for us.
Yes, he does. Yep.
Yeah, that was really good.
And he addresses the whole Russia flag thing, too.
Yes. If you want to hear that, tune in next week. And go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to tune into our national show. And we got the pre and the post-race show every week. And we got Bob Barsha coming on. We're trying to get Dave O'Neill back in. That man is the busiest man I know.
Busiest guy, man.
Yeah, former Haas F1 team manager who joined us all last season is going to be joining us this season when he can. So he's also got a new, you know, young child. So he is very busy, but we'll try to get him back on the show. But yeah, we're gonna do the full interview with Les just texted me. He said Bob Barsha. I mentioned Bob Barsha is going to be joining us too. So but yeah, and we'll have that. And so I'll go to our website and how to listen to that. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And, of course, do check out our website, because we have all of our social media, including our SoundCloud account and our YouTube account. All of our shows are done on video, and we save those to our YouTube account. Check it out there. And they also get saved to our Facebook there as well. So you can check us out either one of those places. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to our guest. And we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Hell, y'all.
Happy trails. We'll be right back.